This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Chicago's all-news station. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 1203. Great to have you joining us for the Thursday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. A challenging time for retail because of supply and worker issues. We'll check in with the owner of a popular Chicago fashion boutique in our next segment. Right now, a busy day of data, including the latest look at sales of existing homes and leading indicators. Let's sort it all out. Greg McBride is here, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. Greg, let's begin with the unemployment claims. Now, just for clarity here, these are people who are filing for the first time, right? So, I mean, essentially, they were probably laid off last week.
Yes, and that number has been trending lower. This is the second week in a row we were below 300,000. It's a new pandemic era low, 290,000. And for context, prior to the pandemic, when we had the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years, at that point, the weekly claims were in the low 200,000. So we've come a long way, still a little bit further to go to get back to where we had been pre-pandemic.
And are we, I don't think it's in this report, but whatever latest numbers you're looking at, are we seeing that that participation number, the number of Americans who should be in the workforce that are in the workforce, how is that trending? Are people actually going back to work?
We're not seeing it. I mean, you ask, is it trending? It's not trending. It's basically been range-bound for the last year and a half. So there was this big thought that, particularly once kids went back to school in September, you'd see this massive influx back into the labor market. Well, we're still waiting to see that. The numbers just don't bear that out quite yet.
Yeah, help us to see home sales here, existing home sales specifically. This number is out, and it's up.
Yeah, it was up 7% from September, strongest number we've had in several months. Sales were up in all regions of the country by at least 5%, including 5%, over 5% in the Midwest. But that inventory is still very tight. It's down 13% year over year, and there's only enough supply for about 2.4 months worth of sales. For context, normal is 5, closer to 6. So less than half of the inventory of a more balanced market.
And if you get more sales, more houses moving, that probably has to be pretty good for prices, right?
It is very much a seller's market, alive and well. Home prices up all regions of the country. In the Midwest, up over 9% year to year, median home price $265,000.
What are we seeing in the leading indicator reported, kind of giving a sense of how the wider economy is going?
It was up, came in short of forecast. The other, sort of the knock against this is, yes, it's a leading indicator, but it has a big lag to it. This was just a September number that was being reported. So, the run-up we've seen in long-term interest rates over the past couple of weeks, that's going to be a bit of a drag on those leading indicators.
Good insight, as always, from Greg McBride. He is Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. Thanks for being with us. Retailers are facing challenges brought on by the pandemic, plus economic factors, including breaks in the supply chain. Let's get a local look from someone really dealing with this, Roy Surday, founder of Peaches Boutique on South Archer here in Chicago. Roy, it's good to have you on the show here. We keep hearing about supply chain problems. You know, it's kind of ambiguous. Help us to understand, as someone who is a retailer, what does it really look like in your business to have supply chain problems?
Well, in our business with supply chain problems, the product that the girls are looking for, they need to have it at a certain period of time. So if it's not manufactured 6 months ahead and they come in they need it in 3 months, to get it for them is going to be a very difficult thing. And we're hoping that by prom season, it corrects itself.
Because it doesn't really help you if those items come in 1, 2, or 3 months after you need them.
Correct. And we, to try to accommodate the girls, have ordered quite a bit of inventory, preparing ourselves for prom to have it in stock and available for them. But I do suggest that if people, when they start shopping, they shop a little early to give themselves the opportunity and the time to get the product.
So we're talking not only prom. I mean, you have weddings all year long. How difficult are you finding it to provide wedding dresses that women need?
Well, it's the same scenario. The only good thing about wedding is brides shop a lot earlier for their wedding, so they give themselves a little more time, so they're so they have the opportunity. But it is becoming difficult for a lot of reasons. The pandemic put a hurt to a lot of manufacturers who cut back on inventory, so we're not seeing that availability like we used to in the past. You almost have to gamble yourself as a retailer and house stuff to prepare yourself to hope that you get the sale.
Yeah, how tough is that? I mean, it seems pretty risky for you to have to buy things ahead of time, hoping you can sell them, but with no guarantee you can sell them.
Well, it is very risky. It's what brought the pandemic brought on to hurting a lot of businesses and forcing them out of businesses. To take the gamble now after not knowing what the future lies for a lot of people, and to, you know, and to invest your money in that and hoping that we go back to a normal society soon. I'm just, we're hoping and we're gambling. Peaches itself is taking the gamble.
Does the supply chain issues, that end up creating a situation where people coming in for dresses, they just have fewer options because maybe 2 years ago you would have been able to offer more options, but they're just not there right now? Or is that not the case?
Well, yeah, it is the case because the difference between them coming in and us having the ability to, say, order the product for them in a reasonable time has become a longer and longer span. So if they're looking for a dress in a month, to get that is almost impossible now. They need more time. The manufacturers aren't putting these orders in. So when they do put it in, the delay in the foreign countries to get it here is becoming a more difficult situation.
So what's your advice to customers in your case? I mean, you're a boutique. You sell dresses. If there's a woman who needs a dress for whatever occasion, homecoming, prom, wedding, quinceañera, whatever it is, what's your advice to them?
Well, my advice would be to shop earlier than they need to give themselves time to buy it, but to go to somewhere who they know that's going to have the product. And obviously, Peaches will have that product. It's going to be very difficult, in the near, future is to hope that you're going to say you're going to get married in 3 months and you're going to wait for a month before. You're going to have to then buy what's on the rack.
Interesting stuff, really. A real-world experience here of supply chain problems and delays and less selections and businesses really having to be nimble. Thanks so much. That's Roy Surday, founder of Peaches Boutique. That's at 5915 South Archer. Tesla's beaten both the expected top and bottom lines with its third-quarter results. Let's get the latest on the electric car maker. Garrett Nelson is here, senior equity analyst at CFRA Research based in Richmond. It's really good to have you here, Garrett. So give us kind of the lowdown on what Tesla is reporting.
Sure. Thanks for having me. These were solid results all around. It's now the eighth quarter in the last nine in which Tesla has beaten consensus on the bottom line. So really solid results, record gross margins. The problem, I think you're seeing a more muted reaction in the stock so far today. It's up only modestly. Because it's kind of become the expectation with Tesla that they'll post very solid results and really robust operational execution. So I think that's why you're seeing a more immediate reaction to the stock. There's also heightened concerns regarding supply chain shortages and semiconductors. So their commentary, both in the earnings release and on the conference call, was a lot more cautious than it has been in recent quarters.
So the supply chain issues and the chip issues, has Tesla been as impacted as other car makers, or have they handled it differently somehow?
They haven't, and we think it's because they procured chip supply before other automakers. They were planning on a big ramp in production heading into this year, so we think they contracted earlier than some of the traditional automakers, such as Ford and General Motors. But that could be changing. Tesla was sitting on only 6 days of supply at the end of September. A year earlier, they were sitting on about 14 days of supply in terms of inventory. So, you know, their inventory levels are pretty low, and we think you could start to see them struggling with these issues in the coming quarters.
Yeah, that's interesting. So they've done well, but you can only keep that up so long. Is it surprising, as you look at all of the automakers, surprising that they haven't figured out a way to get through this? I mean, 2 years ago, they had as many chips as they needed.
That's right. It's really everyone was caught off guard by the pandemic. You had Intel recently came out and they said that they think the chip shortages are going to last for another 1 to 2 years. So I think the entire auto industry is that's the new expectation. It's not going to be a near-term issue, and it probably is going to linger well into 2022 and possibly 2023.
So what is your recommendation on Tesla stock? It's at $8.93 now. It's up about 3.25% today.
We have a hold opinion and 12-month price target of $875.
Thanks so much. Good insight from Garrett Nelson, Senior Equity Analyst at CFRA Research.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Markets are mixed. The Dow down 113. NASDAQ is up 57. And the S&P is up 1 point. Let's see what's going on. David Brady is here, president of Brady Investment Counsel in Normal. David, what do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Well, you know, the surface, the big picture, not a lot, but certainly if you peel the layers back a couple of layers, we're seeing some pretty exciting things going on in the IPO market today. So an interesting day. I suppose the market overall is taking a breather from the last 5 or 6 days. You know, we've seen gains, and that's just been a reaffirmation that earnings continue to progress ahead and come through solidly in spite of what's going on around the world. But I think we're getting a bit of a breather today, and we're seeing some real action in the IPO market today.
Yeah, one of those is Portillo's, which is doing really well today, kind of something some locals are paying attention to. Portillo's seems like there is really great growth opportunity there. Maybe that's why it's so attractive here on the first day of trading.
Well, it is, and, you know, it's an emotional stock, really. I mean, there's people who know that restaurant chain and love it, and, you know, we've seen other restaurants that are known and loved and aren't public, like a Chick-fil-A would be one. So I'm not surprised at the interest, probably a little surprised at the, you know, the action to the extent that the shares have gone up today. But to your point, yeah, I like the growth plan. Management's growth plan is to just slow and steady 10% per year until they reach about 600 restaurants. I think that will serve them well. You know, Portillo's, you could argue, is a COVID beneficiary in a way for becoming a public company. I mean, the restaurant industry has, you know, hit a major reset, and you know, Portillo's will has had time to rethink the size of the restaurant, drive-throughs, delivery, all of this before going public. So I think that's going to give them a bit of a boost as they work through their growth strategy over the years.
Got information from some airline stocks, and I guess kind of mixed, especially, you know, Southwest with that outage and all those cancellations. I mean, you knew that was going to cause problems.
Yeah, you know, we've seen that. Now, the cancellations happened in October, so that was after the quarter closed for many of these. You know, I guess positively on the airlines, we're seeing demand come back, and you know, that's what we need for the economy. We need the retail buy-in. We need the consumer buy-in. Everybody needs to take the money that was saved and begin to spend as normal. From an investor standpoint, you know, it's nice to have retail investors along the way. You know, you could sort of see why institutions might be buying into this market right now, but we need to see real conviction on the retail part, on beyond the speculation, beyond the meme stocks, you know, buying, you know, real investments. And we think the market, you know, we'll have corrections from here to there, obviously, but at least in the short term, looks pretty good.
We, in our previous segment, talked about Tesla, but let's talk about that. It's up more than 3% today. Yet again, record earnings for Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla, you're buying a lot with Tesla that goes beyond, you know, the earnings and the fundamentals. It's really sort of in the neighborhood that we don't understand anymore. I mean, I think it's 110 times 2022 earnings estimates. It might be 15 times the firm value to EBITDA number. It might be, you know, 60 or 70 times. I mean, so the valuations are stretched. I mean, there has to be something way beyond you know, electronic vehicles or the batteries or, you know, any other dream that Elon Musk has to really come through, I think, in order for this one to make sense longer term. I suppose, you know, getting back to the original point, though, I'd imagine that's, you know, there's a lot of retail investors owning Tesla, too, right now, or buying Tesla right now on the earnings news, which looked pretty good. The impressive thing was the way they were able to manage their cost structures through the quarter. You know, demand, you know, of course, is good, too, so are good enough, I would say. But, yeah, I'm not surprised they're trading up a little higher today at all.
Thanks for all the insight. That is David Brady, president of Brady Investment Counsel. Just ahead, Technology Thursday, exploring the Internet of the future.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday on the Noon Business Hour. The term metaverse is used to describe what the Internet is likely to become in the future. Let's learn more about it. Shelley Palmer is here, CEO of the Palmer Group and author of the new updated book, An Executive Guide to the World of Decentralized Finance. Shelley, help us to understand this term metaverse. What does it mean? What are we talking about?
Well, it means a couple different things to different people. Generally, it's a virtual environment you access through the Internet. So if you remember the old Second Life, people who are familiar with Fortnite know what a metaverse is in that context. But I think in a larger context, Mark Zuckerberg is thinking of it as a merger between that kind of virtual world and the world we live in through augmented reality, meaning through some kind of eyewear or technology that will allow you to walk around the real world and then be kind of in two places at once, in a virtual world and have access to both. That's where we are right now. It's a bit undefined. There are lots of metaverse-style games like Decentraland, unless I mentioned Fortnite. Roblox is another one. Plenty of games like that. These are places where you can go and immerse yourself. Some people do it with virtual reality goggles where you're sort of, you know, totally in that world, nowhere else. Others do it at their computer or, you know, on their smartphone, just sort of visiting, if you will, walking around. It looks like an animated space if you haven't seen it. It looks like walking around in a cartoon. You have an avatar. Maybe you'll see yourself. Maybe it'll just be point of view from you. And you'll literally use your controls to walk around this environment or fly or other things.
Well, what's the attraction? Is this kind of creating an alternate world, or you know, you get to design it? What's the attraction here?
Well, there are a lot of different theories about it. One is that you have an avatar, so you can be anyone and anything, and you can have superpowers, so you're sort of like an animated character in an animated world. People love to experience things like concerts in those environments. They like to meet other people in those environments. It's an extension, if you will, of just, you know, texting and email. And again, it allows you to be and fantasize about anything you want. And so there are some very specialized metaverses. There are some that are gameplay-based, some that are just social-based. You know, there are virtual nightclubs. If you name it, Cisco, there's stuff out there like it. And again, Facebook is thinking about going super deep into the metaverse. They think that's where you're going to hang out. That's the evolution of social media in Mark Zuckerberg's mind. So we're all going to get an up-close personal view of what the metaverse will become. What it is right now is not what it's going to be. That much I can promise you.
Well, I'm glad that you said nightclub, and earlier you mentioned concerts. It's really creating a unique virtual sort of pseudo real life space in order to meet people. I mean, most people think that, yes, you know, all we need is you have Facebook where you come and you friend people and you hang out. This is creating virtual real life spaces for you to do that social activity.
That's correct. And at least in one iteration, that's exactly right. And look, there's a lot of people who have latched on to this. Linden Labs brought out a product called Second Life years ago. It was too early. The technology wasn't ready. The internet wasn't ready. The bandwidth wasn't ready. People's computer wasn't ready. But it was so incredibly popular. People were ready, which is, you know, now the technology's caught up. So you can create these spaces. You can create these virtual worlds, and people can access them. Smartphones, 5G, more powerful PCs, better bandwidth. Those are all the components, more computational power, that go into making this possible. I think you can expect all kinds of new storytelling, new advertising, new experiences. You know, we're used to seeing a movie. How about being in the movie? Like, that's the kind of stuff we're going to get into now in the metaverse world.
Yeah, really cool stuff. As you mentioned, Facebook, really serious about it. That's Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. That's Technology Thursday. Still to come today, making sure you keep your job.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The economy is doing better. Employers are still wooing workers, but that doesn't mean you should be complacent. Tessa White, CEO of The Job Doctor, online at thejobdoctor.com. Tessa, you know, we saw the first-time claim for unemployment numbers. They're better. They've been better 3 weeks in a row. And yet there are people who are still being laid off. So talk to workers out there who may feel like they are invincible because of what's going on in the job market.
I think the number one thing people should be doing is securing their place in the workforce if that's what they want, if that job is what they want. So getting tuned into the one thing they can do that could make the biggest difference in their role is a very, very important thing to keep your eye on.
Because if there are going to be layoffs, you want to be the one employee that they say, well, we need to let some people go, but we don't want to let that person go.
That's exactly right. So you've got to make yourself as irreplaceable as possible.
So what are some ways people can do that? Is they're in the workplace?
I think there's a couple of things people can do. The first is know that your skills are your greatest leverage. So when you have a specialized skill set, that's something that will keep you employed. The other thing is, you know, when you first start a job, we have fresh eyes, and we lose that over time. You need to see the problems that your company has through fresh eyes again, find a problem, and then solve it. And the last thing is plant seeds for your future while you're at the company. You should be talking to other managers, other departments, understand what jobs are coming up. You have a tremendous competitive advantage over external people if you plant those seeds.
How important are just those relationships? It's been tough in the pandemic to have relationships because so many people are working remotely. But how important is it that you have relationships within the company that allows more people to know that you are valuable?
It's incredibly important because it doesn't matter that we're in the age of social media. The best way to get a job is still who you know. That's the tried and true way to get a job. And so people that are not utilizing the infrastructure and the ecosystem in their own companies to understand what jobs are coming, what skill sets are needed, and plant the seeds, they're missing an opportunity. And managers do not want to have a difficult time hiring for positions. They want to open it and they want to fill it as soon as possible. And if your name is coming to mind first because you've been having those relationships, building those mentoring opportunities, then you're going to have a leg up on somebody from the outside.
Really good insight. Don't take that job for granted, even if it is an employee's market these days. That's Tessa White, CEO of The Job Doctor, online at thejobdoctor.com. Be sure to listen to News Radio throughout the day, 23 and 53 past each hour, as we continue following the news that affects your money.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.